You are listening to Ground Zero Podcast. Join us as we discuss with Mwangala Sipumo and Mwila Krisediwanga on the PF government, the election period, and the new hopes for the incoming government. We are Ground Zero, growing you every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Ground Zero Podcast again, and boy, am I so glad that you guys have been with us for this entire time. Zambia this year had a bit of a period that all of us were like excited. The main, you know, finale for the year was this year's election when we just had the August pause, and 90 days before that, we had seen a lot of issues going around and different issues from different political parties, them trying to campaign in a lot of different areas. And during all that period, we did an episode season called Zambia Designs, and it went very well. And if I'm to remind all of us, those of you that haven't played the podcast yet, we did host Emmanuel Kazungu, Ndea, Ken Dumbo on our season finale for Zambia Decides, and it was quite an amazing conversation. If you are yet to play it, please go back and click that episode, enjoy the conversation, and see how best we should react to the elections results. Joining me today, we have two young people. I must confess that this is one of the most tense conversations I've been looking forward to, because the ones that we have today on the platform actually are well-informed individuals, and I just can't wait for this knowledge of information to just pour all over this platform that we have today. You have seen a few posters flying around. I've gotten great feedback from you guys, shared on Twitter, Facebook, even you guys that have been calling me. That definitely means a lot. And I'm sure by now you know who these individuals are. If you don't, here's a quick introduction about them. Our first guest is Mwila Krisediwanga. He's a governance expert. I'm pretty sure when I said the first name, all of you shouted, "Honorable!" Because that's the vibe I get upon just, mentioning the name. And I've followed him for quite some time now. I'm pretty sure you guys are having the same vibe. He was a third runner-up in the previous elections for Member of Parliament in Changa Constituency, Youth Representative in the Commesa Region, Zambia Youth Delegate in the Commonwealth, awarded twice by the Zambian Government and African Region Bodies of Governance Accomplishment Awards. He's been listed twice among Zambia's top 35 youth below 35, right? That's definitely something to, admire. I am admiring it. I mean, he definitely does push me with his works. He's approved by the African Union to be one of Africa's best governance minds below the age of 30. That's something to marvel at. Mwila, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, brother. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Such conversation, I believe they're futuristic and they're important for supporting our generation in becoming the leaders that we want to see. So thank you so much for having me, brother.
Boy, am I glad to have you. I've been wishing to have you on the platform. I must make mention, during the Zambia Designs episode, I was thinking to myself, if I send him a text, he's going to say no. I'm pretty sure.
You should have tried your best. I should.
More than I thought, actually. And it's definitely amazing seeing that. I just sent him a text on Twitter, and he was quick to respond. He was very welcoming. I felt at home. I felt like I've known him for some time. And I was comfortable with him, which is an amazing thing. So thank you so much for being on the platform. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
We're supposed to be joined by Mwangala Sipumo as well, but she's currently having network issues. But Mwangala Sipumo needs no introduction from you guys. She was featured on Zambia Designs. And if a network definitely kicks in, well, we'll definitely enjoy the conversation with her as well. So I'm just trying to move on. Mwila, I don't know where to start from, because this conversation is obviously broad, and as the key areas we'll be looking at today, just trying to have a quick little chat about the PF government, the elections, and new hopes for the new government. I wonder how you would describe the previous rulership that we had for about 7-6 years with the PF government. How would you look at that?
I've asked this couple of times. I remember I was on an international platform, I think 2 days ago, and they asked me the very same question to say, how would you define, you know, the previous regime and how they led? I believe it was a bittersweet kind of period. You know, we had bitter situations with the previous regime. We had sweet situations with the previous regime. You know, when the Patriotic Front came into power in 2011, they ignited a sense of hope, you know, in many young people, in the majority Zambians and the lowly citizens, because, you know, they survived, you know, on the manifesto of, you know, the ordinary citizens being a poor people driven kind of political party. And the president who won at that moment in time, Mr. Michael Chifasata, may his soul rest in peace. If you noticed, immediately being declared as a winner, the whole entire country was united in a spirit of celebration that we've never seen before. And they provided a sense of hope to many Zambians out there, coming from an elite-driven regime of the MMD, who did tremendously well in introducing multi-party politics and also, you know, anchoring our country on the very fabric of democracy, which we also have to congratulate them and celebrate them for that. When the Patriotic Front government came into office, you know, they survived on the manifesto of infrastructure development, lower taxes, more money in the pockets, and the list goes on. When we talk about the issue of infrastructure development, I think that's one area I would love to commend them. You know, they moved in that particular direction for one specific reason, to link Zambia so that actually trade, you know, can skyrocket in order for us to have more revenue coming in the country. But they did that at the detriment of our economy, because the moment you go into a process of consistently borrowing without having anything that, you know, supports you to generate revenue to pay back that kind of money that you're actually borrowing, it becomes very difficult for you to sustain that particular debt. When the president passed on, that was in the year 2015, if I'm not mistaken, then we had the by-election and President Edgar Chagwalungo came in. We saw a shift from the Patriotic Front being a poor people-driven political party to being a political party that is more centered on the rich, on the wealthy, on cadres, on violence, on barbarism, on barbaric way of act, on thuggery kind of doing things. So we saw a whole different shift. However, an aspect of continuity with progress, and the list goes on. So in a nutshell, if somebody asked me how the previous regime was, I believe it was a mixture of everything, you know. But one thing that I'd love to state is that the Patriotic Front have a lot to learn from their previous era of leadership. You know, arrogance was one thing that I actually observed from the party that actually left office. They were not willing to listen to the people when the people complained. The whole idea of wanting to justify error also costed them an election. The whole idea of, you know, magnifying, or rather, let me say, elevating an ordinary cadre above an ordinary Zambian also costed them an election. The whole issue of wanting to campaign on tribal lines costed them an election. So if they have to rebrand, they literally have to do away with many political figures within their political party if they have to come back in full force in 2026. But all in all, they did amazingly as regards infrastructure development. They linked our country, and that's something that we really have to congratulate them on. And also the president, by virtue of him, you know, supporting a smooth transitioning of power, that's something that we also have to celebrate, because it's not something that we often see in African politics.
Thank you. You've spoken quite a number of issues here about the Patriotic government, and indeed, it's something that we should applaud them for, the aspect of linking the country to promote trade and many other issues that actually will bring economic growth. But again, at the expense of the country's economy, that's just something to get to question on how the planning was done, on how we would want to, you know, cover off the debt that was overborrowed to begin with, and now leaving a nation to an aspect why it's and crippled. So now Mwangala has just joined us, and Mwangala, we're just from getting feedback from Mwila over here about his thoughts and his two cents about the Patriotic government. What would be yours? How would you best define the Patriotic government in their reign?
Okay, thank you so much for having me to begin with. I don't know what happened with my network or my phone, but it keeps cutting me off. But anyway, I heard a bit of what he said, and I must agree with him. I think they did some good things. The infrastructure development, though some of it is limited to Lusaka, unfortunately. And the cost that I think bothered many Zambians, including myself, would also talk about the cadrerism, which I think most of the people have warned, you know, where cadres were given so much power, even having the audacity to, you know, stand up to an officer of the law. Apart from that, the arrogance, I think Mwila has literally said most of the things. But one thing that stands out for me...
And we've lost her again.
That's why we need to connect. That's why we need to digitally connect our country properly. And I hope the current administration will think of bridging the digital divide. Mwangala is having issues with her network. You know, there's need for us to improve.
Definitely true. If anything, you did share your comments on the president-elect's meeting with representatives from, is it China or Japan, about the exchange of technology in growing the nation. Why they bring in more technology and as an aspect of us growing as a nation, which I believe we'll definitely get to that when we start looking at the new hopes of what we hope the new government is actually going to bring in. And before that, you did quite speak a number of things about the Patriotic government. It's just unfortunate that Mwangala started airing her own views, and then before you know it, network happened. But we definitely hope that it's something that will be not a problem in the near future. So going back to our conversation, of course, yes, it was a bittersweet relationship, as you mentioned, and you've definitely articulated a lot of aspects which are actually facts on how you would evaluate the PF government. And you've mentioned that they definitely have to rebrand. And just on that note, we just recently heard that Antonio Mwanza has been put to a post to rebrand that. And you shared some of your thoughts on your social media. We just love to have the same thoughts on an aspect of them rebranding as a political party with Antonio Mwanza on that position.
I was, I had a conversation with one of the colleagues within the Patriotic Front, and he asked me, to say, Mwila, do you think we have the chance of bouncing back? I said, you actually do. But it all depends on how you reposition and rebrand yourself as a political party, because if you look at the UPND have been in opposition for literally over 20 years, if I'm not mistaken, within that particular range. And they've had members of parliament who have been loyal to the core. They've been loyal to their political party. They've been okay being in opposition for a very long time. They've only had approximately 50, about 50 somewhere there, members of parliament to the UPND. If you compare with what the Patriotic Front has retained, they have retained approximately 60 members of parliament in parliament, which is different to how it was with the MMD when they were kicked out of power in the year 2011. So they have some chance of bouncing back. You know, they have the grip of being able to provide checks and balances to the current regime. However, the manner in which they rebrand and restructure and reposition themselves is of ultimate importance. Because one thing that you have to understand about the whole field of politics is that it can be exhilarating, the stress and the misery that goes on. Antonio Mwanza has been appointed National Youth Chairman of the Patriotic Front. Yeah. As a National Youth Chairman, it should be somebody who's able to command not only influence, but it should be an inspirational person to young people. You should be somebody that young people resonate with. You should be somebody that young people can easily have that particular connection with. Because being National Youth Chairman for a particular party is not just about occupying a position. It's about how do you woo young people to join your party. Antonio Mwanza has, lack of a better term, messed up his brand during this particular political campaign through certain rhetoric that may not sit well with certain political figures. So if you ask me about rebranding, what I would advise the Patriotic Front government to do is basically to restructure the whole entire political party from the SG up until each and every constituency where they lost, to ensure that there's new leadership across the board, that their members of parliament that they have right now, they are anchored on principle, because we have MPs in PF4 already saying, I am ready for a position within the UPND government. That in itself shows that they are not ready to provide checks and balances to the new regime. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but let's wait and see how the whole entire electoral process unfolds for the next 5 years.
Yeah, thank you. And just on the same underlining concept of rebranding, under the PF government, individuals would actually, we've definitely seen as a country, a lot of misfortunes that would literally hope that they never did happen. Amongst them, we saw the inflation rate skyrocket, the issue of 48 houses, the fire tenders, scandals, Mukula, the FIC reports, the expensive toll gates, the cutters, as you missing medicines, so the president. Yeah, they're definitely quite.
Despite them having a bad track record, the PF government, can they bounce back? Can they win another election? Chances are very slim. I think at presidential level, it would take a lot for them to rebuild their brand here. Maybe at parliamentary or local government, but presidential, it takes a lot. And I think one thing I've noticed, Zambians, once you are voted out of government, it's difficult for you to bounce back. I mean, we've seen UNIP, we've seen the MMD, you know, trying to bounce back after leaving office. So it's really hard. And it will take a lot, really. I think probably a whole new crop of leaders, not the current ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's also add up on that.
Maybe to add up to what Wangala said, and she's right. You know, Zambians have lost patience nowadays. However, where the Patriotic Front stands better chances. If you look at the MMD and the UNIP, they survived within an era of first past the post. That's the electoral system that we had, meaning a person can get literally 30% and they'll be declared president. The new system that we have, a person needs to have not less than 50% of the vote in order for it to be declared, you know, president. If you look at the other political parties who are in opposition, they have a lot of work to do in order for them to command national authority, in order for them to command national relevance at that particular level. So where the Patriotic Front stands a better chance that they already have structures. They already command Luapula, Northern Province, Muchinga, Eastern Province. They already have, you know, representation. They're the ones who are, you know, in charge of Lusaka City right now. They have a mayor. Now, the ones who are having the mayor in Kabwe, the ones who have a mayor in Chipata, in Mansa, and the list can go on. They have a chance, but like what Mwangala said, there's a lot that needs to be done in order for them to actually bounce back to reality. And for me, the whole idea of the Patriotic Front coming clean before the people and apologizing, in political science, there's what we call sympathetic vote. There's what we call a sympathetic vote, where voters begin to sympathize with you simply because you've been vulnerable before their presence. The Patriotic Front, the whole idea of justifying error, that is what has really messed up the whole entire political party. But if they're able to come out clean and say, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, fellow countrymen and women, we understand that there are so many things we never did as a party. There are so many areas where there are so many areas where we messed up. There are so many areas where we did not provide good checks and balances. We messed up in this area. We were not accountable. We entertained lawlessness. We gave more attention to cadres than the ordinary citizens. We were arrogant in listening to the ordinary voters. We did not support the, you know, in bringing back our economy to its full course. So if they become vulnerable before the voters, it becomes easier for them to actually bounce back. But when they continue on this space where they are thinking they never messed up, they never did anything wrong, it becomes very difficult for the ordinary Zambians to entrust them with authority again. And if they continue for the next 5 years justifying error, I believe even the 60 members of parliament that they have, they will lose them, and UPND might spend return literally the whole entire parliament.
Why, thank you. Thank you for those different opinions. I mean, even I would wonder what then will happen next if we have the same justification of cadres in the streets, where we saw little or no fight back from the PF government to fight this kind of vices, and we saw little or no effort to actually combat some of these wrongdoings that we saw happening during their tenure. And maybe just to try and conclude on the matter of the Patriotic government, I think we'll start with you, Mwangala. The president of Zambia, Dr. Edgar Chagalungu, accepted defeat and accepted to hand over power peacefully. How do you interpret that? How do you take it as an individual in the nation? How do you interpret that? Well, you have the president and not, we have the president not fighting to hold on to power, regardless of what was said before the elections and whatnot, yet he accepts to peacefully pass on the instruments of authority to the president-elect.
Yeah. Truth be told, I don't know why it was a wow thing, because I mean, we are in a democracy. It's a democratic state. So it's just obvious to say, when someone loses, I mean, you should be able to peacefully hand over the instruments of power. But like you have mentioned, I think to avoid going back to what was said before the elections, I think it's actually a good thing and it's a commendable thing, because I mean, we've seen many African heads of state holding on to power for decades and generations. So it's a commendable thing. I think that's the best he could do for his people, yeah, as President of the Republic of Zambia. So it's a commendable thing and we are happy. But obviously, under normal circumstances, it should be a normal thing for someone to concede defeat and easily hand over the instruments of power. But we're still grateful.
Okay. Definitely honest feedback there. The president conceding defeat and accepting to hand over the instruments of power in peace. Well,
you know why it's commendable is it's not normal in Africa.
Yeah, I think you know, in some African countries.
Yeah, like what Mangala said, it's a normal thing to do in a democratic dispensation. But why it becomes commendable is it's not normal in Africa. That's why, because look, by virtue of President EL still being in power, he still has authority. Not the only time that the president will lose authority is after inauguration. So he's still the commander in chief. The whole entire army bows down to his command. He's still the one who has the final say when it comes to our public broadcasters at NBC. So in other words, he's the one in charge of the media platforms. He's the one in charge of all armed forces. So if he wishes to be selfish, he can, as an African leader. But for somebody
exactly.
who, you know, wishes to just provide a peaceful transition in of power, I think that really sends a strong message to many other upcoming African leaders out there to say, guys, if it can be done in Zambia peacefully, they've had 7 presidents so far. If it can be done in Zambia, it can be done everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think on that one, we can definitely say amen to the discussion about the patriotic government, the patriotic front government, that is. It's definitely been a bittersweet period with the patriotic front government going into our next segment. So before we jump right in it, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss just a few issues around the election period that we had here in our country. Please stay tuned and keep listening.
I would say the PF government was good somehow, to some extent, if I would put it that way. They were good, but they messed up in some areas. Yeah. And they neglected the voice of the youth, especially on social media. Like, people would address their challenges on social media, but they would pay a blind eye to that. Yeah.
I think they could have done better.
And then also, I can describe the PF government to be, for lack of better terms, corrupt, and a government that used to misuse funds and which gave power so much to, you know, political cadres, specifically for their party.
The PF government never had transparency in the things they were doing. Most of the things were based on corruption, or who's on top had to get you up there. And then in terms of that, people saw that in the way they are dedicating their ways, they had to remove them out of office and elect someone who's going to be able to show transparency.
When they came into office the first year and a half, it looked like they were headed into the right direction. But after they won the elections, they started to implement plans and visions that were out of the blue. Henceforth, the bad leaders in PF government made very difficult decisions that affected the economy and the livelihood of many Zambians. It was most likely that the vision would not be fruitful because they decided to do their own things, and in as much as they made good decisions, the bad overshadowed the good.
You are listening to Ground Zero Podcast, discussing issues that matter.
And we're back. We have had an amazing conversation about the Patriotic Front government, and I'm still glad that you guys are still in the podcast listening to this amazing content where I'm having Mwila and Mwangala on this discussion today. And I'm so glad that you guys keep on listening and supporting the podcast. Thank you so much. And now let's dive in into the election aspect. By constitution, 90 days before the election date, political parties go to campaign so that they can speak to the masses, why they should vote for them, and many other things like that. And we saw quite a good number of things coming in. The unfortunate part, however, was during the same 90-day period, we lost the father of our nation, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. May he so rest in peace. And we had seen some political parties putting a halt to their campaigns, and after a period of time again, starting campaign and many other things like that. I think this time we're going to start with you, Mangalo, and what your thoughts on how the 90-day period went to you.
Okay, I think it was an interesting one, owing to the fact that political parties were subjected to campaigning via roadshows, during the pandemic, because it was still in the pandemic. So it was different, unlike the traditional rallies where people will gather at a ground and they're spoken to. This time it had to be done either virtually, some via social media platforms, radio, any other platform, radio, TV. I think we saw quite a number of adverts, billboards. So I think this time around, all forms of media were exhausted because people couldn't gather, you know. Yeah, but apart from that, as being able to campaign, or political parties being able to campaign under the new normal, it's unfortunate that lives were lost. And also the fact that it was characterized by violence, people bringing down posters, the tribal remarks, you know, trying to divide what people had worked so hard for. And it's just sad that it was, the tribal remarks were very untimely and uncalculated, if I put it that way. There's not good time for them, but I mean, it's like you mentioned, it's the time that we had lost our first Republican president who spoke and fought for peace, you know. He spoke of Tiende Pamozi, you know, one Zambia, one nation. So it was just saddening and heartbreaking. But I'm glad and I thank God that, you know, we rose above it as Zambians. We rejected the tribal remarks. Yeah, so I think it was an interesting period. COVID-19, all forms of media have been exhausted, the tribal remarks. And of course, unfortunately, the playing field was not leveled for some of the candidates, because they were not allowed to campaign in certain areas. So, but I mean, eventually, the best party won, if I'll put it that way. The people still decided.
Definitely, most definitely. Wonderful comments from there. Honorable. This was your time. Go and stand up.
Yeah. Very exciting, you know. She has seen the smile on my face, like, honorable.
Trust me. That's the first thing I called him when I texted him, honorable, because he is.
Nice. Right? He is.
Yeah, he definitely is. Honorable, your comments.
You know, this campaign was like no other, like Mwangala.
Definitely.
You know, it was like no other way. And actually, I'll be frank with you, I anticipated voter apathy. You know why I say that is because we never had time to engage with the electorate because of COVID-19 campaign restrictions. So people were limited with either radio stations, billboards and newspapers and flyers and, you know, roadshows. You don't interact with people through distributing masks and roadshows, you know. So I reached the point where I thought maybe people would not really turn out, but people having to turn out just really shows how much burden they carried for the past 5 years.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I think that's what pushed most people.
Exactly, Mangala. I think that's what really pushed people, the burden they carried for the past 5 years. And you know, and when I'm on, before the whole entire election, people could ask me, how do you anticipate the results to come out? I actually even used to say, I'm anticipating a rerun. You know, because people couldn't really come out. So when the results came out, and they came out the way they came out, it was really magnificent.
Shocking,
you know. So the whole entire campaign period, for me, you know, it was a mixture of everything. But truthfully speaking, I think it showed politicians that we can campaign even using different mediums and platforms. And I think we are getting into a direction where we also begin to modernize the way in which we campaign. And I think with how the whole entire campaign was actually carried out, it sends a strong message to future political leaders and to future electoral commission leaders as well, to say, look, it's not always only through large crowds as rallies can you pass on a message. We can use different platforms and mediums in order for us to actually pass on a message. It was sad that we had so many clashes. We lost our first Republican president. We had people dying in the name of a political party. And I feel 2026, may we please mend all these wounds that we've actually created for ourselves as Zambians, because whether you like it or not, a mother who lost a child because of a campaign, because of a political party, don't think that wound has healed simply because elections have passed away.
At all.
We really need to, you know, revisit some of those wounds that have been created, and we see how best we can build back better in the next 5 years to come. President HH has a lot of work to do in uniting the country.
I can't just stop but think of the same period, and you talking about someone losing their lives literally because of a political party in the same discourse of the campaign period. And now I'm thinking to myself, what should be the ideal way to go about campaigning, especially for political leaders and aspirants, with regards to how best they should package their message? Because I have attended a few meetings and had conversations with political party leaders. The message they share is, vote for me and don't vote for the other person because of A, B, C, D. They will speak of what you should not vote for, the things of that you should not look for in the other person, but they won't mainly talk what they are going to do, or how best they're going to improve the situation, or how best they're going to engage you and improve the standard of lives in the community and things like that. They will mostly focus on vote for us because when you vote for us, you put up with A, B, C, D from the other party and things like that. So what should be the ideal way of structuring a campaign message when you're going to deliver it to your people to avoid this kind of violence behavior and, you know, there's many other misfortunes?
Okay, sure. I think the best way is to talk to the people, offer them solutions, you know, because I think what most of the candidates did, like you mentioned, they were basically trying to decampaign the other person, when in the actual sense, making them popular and shining the light on them. Because now the electorate gets concerned and starts asking questions. Why not this person? How about this person? So even those that didn't know about them are now inquisitive to want to find out. So I think it's about what you're going to do for the people. If you have served before, look back and say, okay, I have done this for you guys. I'm going to continue in this very regard. And I think now we have quite a very smart, well-informed and learned generation. It's different from back then, where people would bring chitengas and a bag of mealie-meal. Because trust me, prior to the elections, people were saying, eat with them. If they bring you gifts, money, shoes, whatever it is that are going to bring in order to ask you to buy your vote, do whatever it is that they want you to do, but you know, your vote is your secret. And that's what most Zambians rode on. I think this is what disappointed the Patriotic Front, because most people seemed or pretended to be with them when material was being distributed. We received as members of the public, you know, and of course for some it was for fear of intimidation. Yeah, so this time around, I think people want objectivity. I saw people on different platforms, social media platforms, sharing party manifestos, notes that they could actually compare and contrast which one is better. So I think people now need to be objective and know that they are dealing with a learned generation, people that are objective, people that want results. Because trust me, whether I receive the Vitenges or the Milimi or not, months later, the cost of living, the high cost of living will still come and bite us, and we'll be left to face the decision that we'll make for the next 5 years. So people are now more objective. So politicians should now change, you know, adapt and evolve with the mindset of the young Zambians currently. I think that's my say on this.
Maybe to come in. One thing that I would say is a narrative is shaped by the stories that we tell. And to cement what I've just said is, you know, during this election, the reason why we had various clashes is the statements that certain political leaders could make when speaking to their voters. I'll give you an example. When I was running for office and I was on radio and I was asked to make a very bad comment about the member of parliament we had, you know, before the one who's actually there. And you could tell that the interviewer wanted me to say something very bad. And one thing that I said is, you will not hold me in order for me to say something negative about the previous member of parliament. Reason being, I have a following and he also has a following. Mm-hmm. The very moment I say something negative, it will trickle down to our followers, and our followers will not see the need of coexisting. So same thing applies. That's why you could see certain cadres, whenever they meet, they could clash. Where that was coming from was not coming from them. It was coming from the leader.
Coming from the top.
Exactly. I know you know the famous state proverb which says, you know, when the elephant fights, the grass that suffers. So adding up to all these things, I really got inspired with the speech that the president-elect gave the very first moment he was, you know, declared winner.
Yep.
That was a uniting speech.
It was a refining speech.
And if he can continue on that trajectory, he's going to rebrand and change the manner in which we view politics forever. Political figures and political leaders will no longer campaign on tribal lines. They will no longer campaign trying to beat down another individual. They will no longer campaign talking about where somebody else comes from, what somebody else has done, how they're going to arrest somebody when they come into office. They're not going to talk about that. What they'll talk about when they're given an opportunity to be a politician is what it is they're going to do for the people. And this in itself is cardinal, because it's coming from the topmost leaders. And I'll tell you the truth, I like the unbiased stance that the UPND have had towards their cadres. They're not entertaining any lawlessness. And I think we need to continue on that trajectory. And for me, truthfully speaking, to answer the question, how should politicians package their message? It's three things. Your message should be issue-based. Give people hope. Your message should be uniting. We are a country of that is very diverse, but your message should be able to demonstrate beauty in diversity. And lastly, your whole entire message that you structure should be able to motivate and inspire people wanting to be more like you as a leader. Because we're not only leaders upon assuming a political position, but we are leaders even without a political position. And that's something that I consistently try to tell young people that aspire for political office, that be leaders before the ballot. Don't tell me you can only be a leader the moment you become a member of parliament, president, or councillor, but be a leader way before the ballot, way before having a position. You should be able to inspire, influence, and the moment people hear you speak, they should be wanting to become more better than they were before.
Nice. I think, you know, if you allow me just to like echo what Mila has just said. I think obviously it starts from this, from the top. We saw how President-elect, you know, just said one word and said, we are not going to allow cadarism, so, or any form of violence, whether a PF or the UPN. And I think this is something that should have been done like way back.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been said way back, we wouldn't even be, wouldn't have gotten to where we were as a country. And I think now we have moved past the political differences and whatnot because of one voice. And he consistently and has been constantly saying that from the time the election results were announced, to say, please, you know, it's only once every 5 years that we come to where we were like a few days ago. And we're back to normal. Life is business as usual. So it's those few months, those few days that could be life-defining or life-changing moments. And you need to guard them with the most diligence. Yeah.
That's right.
Most definitely. You know, I can tell that there's a lot going on here. Others may not be able to record it, but I think there's a ton of things that the current president is supposed to do with regards to uniting the nation. Of course, his first speech alone tackled a lot of issues.
A lot.
All of us just feel like I haven't had this kind of feeling over a president giving a speech ever in my life.
It was therapy. On a lighter note, it sounded like it gave hope to a lot of Zambians, myself inclusive. Like, it was something different from what we've been hearing.
I felt like I'm a president, all due respect.
For honestly speaking, my patriotism, I love Zambia, but my patriotism that day was reignited because I was frustrated by the previous leadership that we had. So this was like just hope, literally a new dawn for us. Truth be told.
And everyone was definitely motivated. He spoke motivation and motivated spirits to he gave hope to those who are employed. He gave hope to those who are still doing their studies that all you have to do is be competent and be a Zambian. He gave hope to relationships and don't know, I brought something about
and that's the only thing that Zambia, most people pick, girlfriend and boyfriend, support each other. Girlfriend.
We were busy.
You know?
It's a good thing, and I think kudos to the president-elect for ensuring that that speech was delivered. And you can tell the press freedom that was just there. You can tell from how he was like asked questions. I mean, I haven't seen
you
that
know,
in a long time. Yes,
I have never seen it.
Yeah, Yeah, and it's definitely a good thing. And this is something that Bali also mentioned. I was about to say it, but I just realized we're supposed to go into our next segment to discuss this kind of related issues. So we take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with the conversation over the new hopes with the new government that's going to come in power. But yeah, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back soon.
The election process was, I think it was free and fair, although I believe people were trying to tamper with the results. However, everything went smoothly.
The election process was generally fair, if I would put it that way. A lot of people turned up and they believed that through that election, they could do something about what was happening in the country.
It is clear and evident that the young people decided this election. The determination to wake up as early as 02:01 to go to the polling station, to go and wait just to cast a vote for a councillor, mayor, and president, and local government tells me that young people, for the first time in Zambian history, decided to do something very productive. And these elections, I think, were free and fair because of the landslide. I think it was difficult to rig these elections because there was so much support for the opposition that it wouldn't be easy to rig. So for the first time, these elections were free and fair, in my opinion.
My analysis of the elections
this year's elections didn't really start off at a fair, on fair grounds, especially when we talk about campaigns, because there were some government imposed restrictions. I actually got to see one of them physically when the current president-elect was actually coming to Chingola, whereas the mobile police were deployed early morning by 6 hours, were deployed with guns, armed with live bullets, waiting for him to approach town. Whereas when the president was to come in, it wasn't even at that level.
Free and fair is the best description that I can use to describe the elections that were just previously conducted in the year 2021 here in Zambia.
Well, I can't make claims which I cannot substantiate, but the poll day was good. People turned up in large numbers to vote, although the campaign period was not good in that it was marred with violence and there was unfair application of the Public Order Act.
Bali was amongst the words that was mostly hashtagged on that day when they were announcing who the president-elect is going to be. And all of us were, most of us were happy, others were in tears. But the feeling that the nation had was they were very happy of the new president-elect when he was announced by Isao Chulu. And now, in a few hours after that, we got a tremendous speech. We were just before we went on break. And it was unifying. Both parties have mentioned that the speech was definitely something that they were hoping for in a new country. And now the expectations are high. Because it's like we're coming to like a period where we have had so many things that we just can't take anymore, and now we have a new hope. It's like a light at the end of a tunnel, and now we're looking at the expectations we have for the new government. So what is our hope in the new government with President as head of state? Who's going to take it up first?
Ladies first.
All right, thank you. There's so much hope. I think young people are looking forward to jobs, you know, them getting sustainable and well-paying jobs, because we saw in the past few years that most young people preferred being a patriotic front cadre to going to school because it seems to be more paying, or at least it would put food on their tables. So now, and they thought education was useless. So I think most of us are looking forward to jobs being created and then being sustainable and of course being secure, because we saw those that took to the streets to protest for better working conditions being fired or being threatened. So I'm just looking forward to a conducive labor environment both in the private and public sector. We're also looking forward to entrepreneurship. President-elect talked about how, I think we all know that he's an entrepreneur, but then he reassured young entrepreneurs that he's going to thrive and work with different stakeholders in ensuring that a conducive and enabling environment is made for young entrepreneurs, for SMEs and startups. And for me, coming from the Youth Entrepreneurs Association of Zambia, this is very exciting, because prior to now, or prior to that speech, we were not at any point engaged as an association, except we saw different empowerment funds being dished out. Through what procedure, we're not sure. Despite us being an autonomous body recognized by government, made by an act of parliament. So we hope this time around we're going to be engaged, and also we'll be part of the decision-making board that actually looks at these funds and how they're dispersed and how they are returned back into the system, you know, in order to empower many other youth. I also look forward to, I think he talked about the media getting back their freedoms, which was a very exciting thing, because I mean, we saw Prime TV being shut down you know, because they offered checks and balances. They were literally on the government's neck at the time. So it's exciting that we have our voice back, obviously provided that we are within the constitution and the laws of Zambia. You know, it doesn't defend anyone in any way. So that those are exciting for me. And also, I think the cost of living going down. JCTR says the BNB is currently at 8,000 kwacha for a family of five living in Lusaka. So that's quite high, and we've seen in a few days that the kwacha has appreciated. So we're hoping that the cost of living will also go down. Yeah, and I think in a nutshell, I think everyone being carried along, you know, development not being taken only to selected parts of the country, but even the rural Zambian should know to say they have a leader that cares for them and looks out for them. Someone in Shangombo, someone in Pulungu, in Inchelengi, having access to good education, sanitation and health, water, food as well. So for me, I think the expectations are high, like you mentioned, but our present elect assured us that they're going to set the bar quite high as they leave office, by the time they leave office. Yeah, thank you.
Your comments, Mwela?
Yeah, I'm optimistic and realistic. You know, we have a new government. Now, it doesn't mean that now young people, we go back to sleep and we no longer participate in national affairs. I made a post yesterday where I said the nation dies when its youth stop participating in national affairs. I like what Mwangala has said. You know, she has re-echoed the need of including them in the whole entire process of remodeling our country's new environment. And I think for me, that's what I really want to see in the new regime. I want to see an environment that incubates intellectual potential. I don't know about you guys, but I felt choked in the previous regime. You know,
I was frustrated with it.
I'm telling you, I felt like as young intellectuals, we never had space through which we can actually provide our views
and apply ourselves. You know,
exactly. Yeah. I wrote a book at the time when COVID-19 was at its peak, which was entitled Decolonization. Yeah, the whole idea of the book is about how do we rethink Africa's development in post COVID-19. In other African countries, the book was appreciated. In my own country, they never saw value in it. But if it was a cadre who came to office and says, I've got this idea, you know, it would have been easier. So one thing that I really want to see in the current regime is to provide an environment through which young potential and excellence can actually grow without having any kind of connection, but simply because you are brilliant and you can actually excel. We need to create that kind of an environment. I'm glad that the economy is now coming back to its full shape. Even before somebody has been inaugurated, already that's some confidence beyond human imagination.
Exactly.
One of the things that I really want to see in the current regime is to restructure our foreign policy and to reclaim our space on the international scene, because we need to get back to the table as Zambians. I felt like we lost our grip on the international scene as Zambians, and I think it's high time we restructure and rebrand our foreign policy. The manner in which we relate with the West should not be different with how we relate with the East. We should not have China having more dominance in our country while ourselves, we don't have a say in literally everything that China does in their country. We should not reach a point where if Americans have to come to Zambia to establish various investment, they feel like they own our country and we literally have no say in what they do. We need to restructure our foreign policy. How do we relate with Japan? How do we relate with China? How do we relate with UK? How do we relate with the Americans? That's very important. The reason why restructuring our foreign policy is key, it is due to the fact that that's where socio-economic development comes in. Because as a country, we don't have the adequate revenue to actually support every developmental program that we had. But the very moment Bali goes to the negotiation table, you should be able to negotiate debt with a lower interest rate. That's what we're looking for right now. When Bali goes to the negotiation table, he should have Zambians at heart, Zambians first, and whoever is negotiating with should actually come second. And the same way that many other countries outside Africa have positioned themselves, I want to see a country that is completely united in the new regime. I'm a person who doesn't see tribe, I'll be frank with you. And Where do you come from? What's your tribe? That's not the first thing that I ask. You know, for me, it's about character and competence. And and for me, in the current regime, I'm very happy that even just a few hours ago, the president-elect made a statement where he said, cabinet, foreign service, and it will have a national image. People will come from all parts of the country, and that's what we all want to see. But above and beyond, I really want to see the president-elect setting a very high standard of what it means to be a politician.
Yes, I think that's really nice, because I mean, politics has been known to be a dirty job, so it'll be a good thing if he actually redefined that statement, you know.
Would tell me when I feel like you're becoming a kada when you're talking, that intellectualness, you've lost it. I'm telling you, like, I reached the point where I had to literally lower my standards because I was running for office, you know. So literally lower, because that's the kind of politics that the previous regime introduced. So even when you're talking on radio, you had to speak in a particular manner, you had to sound in a particular
for people to relate
with you. But I think with Bali coming in, I think something can change.
Definitely. Also, I also look forward to accountability, where leaders are held accountable for public resources, for their actions, for taxpayers' money. In the previous government, we saw a lot of people, I think, they fought corruption with kids' gloves, if I call it that, you know? Pretending, trying to fight, but you're actually not trying to fight it. We saw most of them being caught by DEC, being probed, being taken to court, and then it all ends in a nolle prosequi. For like, I think almost all their cases, for those that were actively serving in government and were, you know, caught for corruption charges, it ended up in a nolle prosequi. So I look forward to Bali actually realizing his statement. You know, he said his new government has no tolerance for corruption. They have zero tolerance. So I hope we're going to get answers for expired drugs, for trust being diverted, you know. Like, I look forward to that personally. So I'm very excited and optimistic that the public service will get a new face, a good one for that matter.
Most definitely, I think the new hope for the new government is that citizens and individuals should be scared of someone holding public office. He did echo out a lot aspect of a leader being a servant and not going there to boss
servant
around.
Leadership, yes.
Yes, because you're
threatened. Who are you? Like, I had an interesting time in this government, I swear. Being on the other side of the table was really interesting. But I mean, tables have turned now. Yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah, definitely most interesting. We'll definitely continue having such conversations as we proceed with the new government, and until we have our next elections. Bali though did mention that he won't run for the third term. I'm still eager to see how that turns out. And I think in closing, we'd just love to get a few words from both of you on the whole process of where we started, where we are now, and how best we can proceed from here. I must make mention though that Honorable Mate said something that I would love to quote, though not in this conversation. It's a quote once said that says, "The problems of the world are inevitable, but as a people, we have to be the inevitable solutions to the world's inevitable problems."
Yeah.
And that has always stuck with me. I think that's what I wait for yours. I think we can start with Mangala. As Honorable is always going to say, ladies first.
Okay, so where we're coming from, where we're at, and where we're going, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I think now is also a time of introspection for many of us, most Zambians, and looking at where we're coming from, in the sense that with the appreciation of the Kwacha in just a few days, people have been asking, where has this guy been? What took him so long? What took us so long to realize? I think what we went through with the previous government just made us appreciate democracy more. You know, most of the things that happened to us during this time seemed so far-fetched that we heard of in other countries, and us having to experience them as Zambians was a shock. And this is why it was frustrating for most of us. Like the issue of the internet shutdown. PS, information, Amos Malupeng actually said that on TV. And I was like, really? Shutting down the internet during an election? Wouldn't that be infringing on the rights of the citizens? Businesses will lose out on money, you know? I had so many questions in my head, and I thought it was not going to happen. I thought they were literally just threatening us. And then on the actual day, actually, I had election observers, the EU, African Union, and other people warning them to say, don't do this, you guys, because it's not the right thing to do. I mean, who does that? Because we've seen it in other countries. Zimbabwe, Uganda went through the same during the election. And then it actually happened. Trust me, I was frustrated. I was sick to my stomach that day. I was like, really? Is this how far we have come? Is this how desperate our leaders have become? Is this how selfish they are that they would go to any length to keep office for whatever reason? So it made me appreciate democracy and like the freedom of expression. Some of the things that I took for granted, thinking internet is just a click away. It's about me turning my data on and off, and then I have access to the whole world. But then having to be in France to access the internet using VPN was a whole different story. So it made me appreciate democracy even more, and that everything could be lost in a blink of an eye, and we shouldn't take for granted. Also, I think we have learned that we have to probe our leaders and hold them accountable for whatever actions they take. I think we were quiet as Zambians for the longest time because we were scared, but we need to rise above the fears and remember that Zambia is ours to preserve. We only have one Zambia to our name. Where we are at now, it's about us forging ahead, obviously, rising above the political differences. Bali says he'll fix it, but he can't do it without us. You know, it takes a village. So it's about everyone's effort, everyone ensuring that they do their part in making Zambia a better place to live in making Zambia a beacon of peace, and us preserving that which we have already attained to our name, the good name that we have across the globe. So I think it's everyone coming together, holding hands and wanting to forge ahead. That's where we're at now. And Zambians have been very optimistic and have set the expectations quite high for the new government. Going forward, I personally, as a Zambian, as a youth, I pledge my commitment to complementing the current government's efforts, ensuring that the platform for young people is made available. We are ahead as well as included in every process, because we currently hold about 67% of the population. That's for people living below the age of 35. So that's like the most of our population. So we look forward to working with them, complementing their efforts, and of course offering checks and balances where need be, and holding them accountable for their actions and what they say. So basically, that's my stance, you know, going forward, where we're at now. Yeah, in a nutshell.
Why, thank you. That definitely speaks to a lot. And it's definitely a lot we've learned from what you've said. Unfortunately, we have lost Mwila, probably due to connection issues and whatnot. But this is why we come to the end of this week's episode. We definitely wish the new government that's going to be ushered in as president-elect to be inaugurated on Tuesday all the best. And as young people, let's work collectively as one, support the nation, be patriotic as we can, work as hard as we can to bolster our economy and become better people. It has been Enoch Mwangala and Mwila on Ground Zero today, and I hope you guys have a blessed day, and please do attend the inauguration. I hear it's open to everyone.
It is open to everyone. On a lighter note, people are saying Hero Stadium only has a capacity of 60,000 seats, and Kanyama constituency alone had 62,000 votes going to Bali. So we don't know how we're going to share those seats among ourselves as a country, because everyone wants to be there. But obviously, we can only wait and see.
We wear face masks. We'll squeeze.
We'll squeeze. You know? Yeah, but I think the rest of us can probably join from home or online via different platforms.
Of course. Thank you so much, guys, for listening in. Please be sure to always send your comments and your messages via our message link provided in the description. I would definitely be grateful. Continue sharing the podcast and keep on listening.
First and foremost, thank you so much for having me. It was a great platform. So maybe just talk about the closing remarks, where we are coming from, where we are, and where we are going. I think, you know, in politics, it's always important to learn from our past. And I think, you know, when we see President Edgar Lungu conceding defeat and making room for a smooth transition of power, it's because he's learning from the past. You know, he saw how our founding president, Dr. KK, you know, he was able to, you know, relinquish a portion of his power to pass it on to Dr. Frederick Chiluba. So I think that's something that we all have to learn from. So the Patriotic Front, they have their fair share of problems. They have their fair share of negative identities. You know, they have their own fair share of what we can deem, you know, and politically not inspirational. But at the end of the day, we need to learn from what they did and what they did not do. We need to learn that when we are arrogant as leaders, you know, we lose our following with the people. We need to learn that when we amplify and we exhort our cronies and our cadres, we lose our touch with the people. We need to understand that when we justify error, you know, people no longer have hope in our leadership. We need to learn a lot. You know, we also need to learn the importance of being politicians that are people oriented, you know. And I feel where we are right now with the current regime, we have a new government in power. That doesn't mean we go to sleep and we let them do what they feel like doing, but we need to be consistently providing checks and balances, because that's what a democracy ought to be. So we're excited that we have a new administration. We're excited that Bali is now president. We have a new parliament. But at the end of the day, let us not forget that governance does not end upon casting your vote. Governance starts after inauguration. So it's high time that we started checking on the promises of our new president, how he's going to fulfill them, how best can we support him, and the list goes on. Where we are going, the famous statement by President Kennedy where he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can also do for your country." So I think where we are going is really about that. You know, the president-elect gave us a speech that was really magnifying. It rekindled our patriotism. So I feel, you know, it's upon each and every Zambian where we start positioning ourselves, you know, for greatness, positioning ourselves as to what we're going to do for our country. Because the biggest challenge that we have as Zambians is that we think the only way we can be relevant is if we are in politics. But we need to start asking ourselves as youth, as young people, what it is can I do in my own individual space? What can I do as regards matters of reproductive health, mental health, climate change, governance, science and technology, academia? The list goes on. We need young people to be relevant in not only politics, but in every circle of life. So ask not what Zambia can do for you, but ask yourself what you can actually do for Zambia. And above and beyond, the problems of our community, ladies and gentlemen, they are inevitable, but we have to be the inevitable solution to society's inevitable problems. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited about the new government, because first and foremost, we believe that change is here, and there's so much expectation. But the bigger thing is that we are so fed up with the corrupt practices and the activities of the previous government, and now that we have got change with a lot of positive, you know, optimistic promises, and we are hoping that they will be fulfilled.
So my expectations of the good new government is that I would like to see it being able to realize their vision and their plan, so to say, and also they should respect, you know, the rule of law and listen to the people. They should consult people in whatever they do.
And then my expectations of the new government is that they should, I expect them to deliver what they say they will deliver. Like all the promises they've made, I hope that they will fulfill them. I hope it's not going to be like the previous regime. Well, you know, they're supposed to, in the beginning, obviously also made promises and whatnot. So I just hope things are going to be different this time around.
My expectations of the new government is just for them to attend to the needs of the majority Zambians that have entrusted them with the role of governing this country.
And I expect things to change. I expect a brighter future, a more free and fair Zambia.
In the new government, I want transparency to be seen, not like the previous government, the way it had Kadarism. Kadarism was more than the way people expected things to be. And then we need the new government to show us that we are going to do this and we're going to help you in such a way. And we also need those leaders to actually mobilize people that would actually bring out the sense out of the people that have got the demands in those communities and what they need.
The expectations for the new government is high among as many Zambians, including myself, because we want the economy to be revamped. We want to have a conducive environment to do business. We want employment. We want to be heard as young people. And I'm sure we want also the industrialization of companies and entities to create more, not only job opportunities, but to create more goods that we can export outside the country. So the expectations are very high. You look at the vast resources that the country has that are not being used. So the new government has got a lot of work to do. They have made a lot of promises, and they should be held accountable to each and every promise. We know they can't employ everybody, but we expect the best, and we expect nothing.